Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. We got Pastor George back, and he's loaded. You're going to like this.
Loaded.
Truly rich is what he's going to talk about.
Gloria, it's so good to be back with you.
We're glad to have you.
And you know, this is day 196.
196.
We are headed for 200 prosperity broadcasts this week. Friday will be our 200th prosperity
you
broadcast.
You have done your doctorate in prosperity.
Yes, Dr. Prosperity.
We should have a graduation when we get through with this.
Well, it has been such a joy doing this because, you know, as we talked about last week, when we first started doing this, I said, Gloria, you just can't exhaust the subject of prosperity. You said, let's try.
Well, we're doing
so
our
here
best,
we go.
Aren't we?
Here we go.
It's been great.
It is the will of God for you and I to prosper.
Do you remember when you didn't prosper?
I remembered.
Oh,
I remembered.
Boy.
And I'm so glad that I made the journey here, got connected with this great family. And you know, one of the first things that I started reading when I got here was The Laws of Prosperity. It's the book that Brother Copeland wrote.
It looked to
wrote.
Me like you could use it.
Yeah. Okay, tell us about that.
Well, George, he wore floods. He had a short, his britches rolled up or something. I don't know what it was. You know, we had to teach him how to live in the South. He didn't know how to live in the South. But you've done very well.
I have acclimated tremendously.
You've graduated to Southern living now.
I can say y'all, and I mean it.
I know. I'm proud of you. I know it was a job.
It really did what I learned and what I gained from this ministry. And you know, people have to realize that when I came into the ministry, one of my first jobs was to travel with Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
And I traveled with him. In those days, Gloria, we were, as you know, we were in the hotel ballrooms. And there were maybe 500 people or so that would come to those meetings. And we were trapped back then. We had a victory campaign every other week.
Oh, my.
So I was handling my job at the time was as art director. I was doing the artwork. And then we'd pack up the van. That's how we would travel. We'd pack up the van. We'd drive to wherever the meeting was going to be, have the three-day meeting, drive home, then start all over again. And every other week. But I must tell you that every other week, as I was in those meetings, of course, I worked the book tables and did various things. But during the meeting,
here's what we said: let George do it.
Let George do it. I remember that. But the thing that I did was when I was through with the book table, and I would go in and I would sit and I would listen, and I had my Bible. And Gloria, I was being fed
the word of life.
It
changed my life to hear all that. You know, back when we began to hear Brother Hagin teach about faith.
Yes.
It's a new world.
Yes, it
I
is.
I mean, there was just no limit to what you could believe for.
That's right. And it helped us to break through. It helped me to break through into a realm that I had never been in before. And to watch you and Kenneth and how you conducted your lives and how you grew in the realm of prosperity. The first airplane that when I got here that you were flying was the 421.
It had two engines.
It had two engines. That was an engine more than what you had
That's
before.
Exactly right.
So you progressed.
Uh-huh.
But when I showed up, it was the 421. And I can remember a meeting that we had in California. And we drove you and Kenneth to the airport to fly back home. And after that, we were going to drive back in the van. But I remember you climbing aboard the 421. And back then, it would take probably two stops to get home. Now, there's a Citation 10.
That's right.
And you can take off from California.
Thanks to our partners.
And thanks to our partners and friends. And we can get you home just like that.
I'm telling you.
And that is prosperity.
That is prosperity.
And that is being,
what a blessing.
That is being truly rich to be able to experience something like that. And that's what we're talking about last week and this week. We're talking about living a life of being truly rich. You know, rich, as we said before, is not a dirty word. It is a Bible word. And so many people have taken it as incorrectly, they look at it as the
like
wealthy
stealing,
rich.
Kind of like stealing.
Stealing. That's rich. But people don't realize that there is a godly wealth that we can enter into.
Oh, yeah.
There's a godly richness that God desires for us to experience. And one of the scriptures that we, I'll just read this to you, Gloria, just kind of recap a little bit of what we talked about. In Proverbs 10:22 in the Amplified Bible, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich."
That's right.
"And He adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it." So last week, I challenged everyone to say, to dare them to say, "The blessing of the Lord makes me truly rich."
Truly rich.
The blessing of the Lord makes me truly rich.
Two different things, to be rich in the world, to be rich in God.
Yes.
If you're rich in God, to get there, you've had to do what God says.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you're just rich, then you don't, people don't know. Sometimes people that even have been poor and now they have a lot of money, they dissipate quickly because they don't have
any
standard to
live
by. That's right. Thank God for the Word.
You said something last week about being truly rich, and you said you can summarize truly rich in one word: peace.
That's right.
Peace.
Amen.
And to have the provisions that God has in store for us, but to also live in a place of the peace and the rest of God, that's what He desires for us to do, and that's truly rich.
That's like heaven. What does the Bible talk about? Days of heaven on the earth.
Oh, yes.
That's where we're supposed
yes,
to be living.
Yes, exactly. Days of heaven
Amen.
On earth.
Amen.
And there are streets of gold in heaven, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
Well, let me just say this to you. The key to biblical wealth lies in how it is handled.
That's right.
Money is not bad. The root of all evil is the love of money.
Right.
Money itself is not bad. It's a tool.
You know, I probably said this when we were before, because this always comes up when you say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things tithing's for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you'll give God the first 10%
the
and
first
the best,
10%. Yes.
It'll help you
yes.
stay going in the right direction where money's concerned.
And that truly makes you rich.
I think it's a very important thing. It's important that we tithe because there's the blessing and all that. But I think it also helps you to stay straight.
It does.
Think right. Put things in priority that they
it
should
does.
Be.
It does.
And there's great blessing. Of course, there's blessing and increase in it. But I think there is an area where we don't talk about much that it helps you to keep things in perspective.
The blessing of the
tithe. Give God the first and the best.
Yes.
And then you can have the rest, you know.
Wait a minute. You just give God the first and the rest.
The best. First and the best.
First and the best.
And you can have the
rest. You can
rest.
Have the rest.
And that rest will do more than the whole thing would have done, because now you got God in on your money. And He's blessed. He's got something to bless.
I like that.
If you don't do anything for God, He doesn't have anything to bless. You know?
I like that.
That opens the door.
And that's the difference between the wealthy, the worldly wealth, and the godly wealth. The godly wealth, the thing that they have in their mind is, when this comes in, tithe.
That's
when
right.
this comes in, sow.
That's
when
right.
this comes in, give.
Yeah.
That's what,
and there's protection in that.
It is protection.
It keeps you thinking straight.
It keeps, yes, it
without
keeps
being
your
taken over by money and so on.
Yes, yes.
Prosperity without being taken over with by prosperity.
There was a scripture that we read last week, Isaiah 32, 7 and 8, and it says, "The smooth tricks of scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor, even when their cause of the poor is just. But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity."
Amen.
That's the difference. That's the dividing line between worldly wealth and godly wealth. Worldly wealth is all about self. Godly wealth is all about serving and obeying God and helping others. That's
when
what it's about.
We started tithing. We just, you know, we're new, we're learning.
Right.
We started tithing. We didn't have anything. We had an old car. I mean, we had some, but not of any value. We had an old car that we bought used, and we lived in a little project house, and we had furniture that we had accumulated from Ken's mother and different places, you know. We had never purchased furniture.
You didn't have a style, did
you? I bought a table really cheap, and I repainted it. And that was our dining table. And so we know everything we have has come from the blessing.
Yes.
And tithing was a key to the blessing. That's part of, I mean, that's really, like, I think tithing's a foundation to your blessing.
Yes.
If you don't do that, give God the first and the best, you can't keep your priorities
straight.
You'll get messed up. So it's an honor and a privilege
that
He would receive our tithe.
It's an honor and a privilege that He would receive it from us.
I just have that indelible picture of that little house. I wish you could have seen it. Had a little table. We had a television that was broken that had a picture about this high. Went all the way across. So it went all the way across. And we had it sitting on a table that Ken made in shop, in high school.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
But that was a prophetic...
I think we had a rented rollaway bed. We didn't even own our own rollaway.
Oh, my. Look what the Lord has done. He's done. And that television was really prophetic. You know, you talk about the television.
Prophetic or prophetic?
Well, maybe both. But the little screen that was on that, you talk about the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, that's when they first came on.
And think about the Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, Jed struck gold.
No, it was encouraging.
It really helped, didn't it?
Oh,
it was giving you a picture of things to come.
I enjoyed the Beverly Hillbillies. I had something to laugh about. They first came on.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the rented rollaway bed. We had a little metal table Ken made in shop. The black and white TV with the picture like this. But then came in and He began to reveal to us things. We started tithing and sowing and believing, began to learn how to use
faith. And your vision was increasing. Your vision continued to enlarge.
We believed to have our own bed without renting. No,
that's a vision.
We had more vision than
But. You know, Gloria, there are probably some people watching us right now that are in that very same position.
Don't be discouraged.
That's
and
right.
And everybody's heard that's me right. tell about cooking potatoes in the coffee pot. We didn't have a stove. So, but we had one of those pots, like I think Ken's mother had given us.
Yeah.
It's got a bottom and a top, and the bottom gets hot and boils, and then it goes up the top.
Yes.
So we cooked potatoes in that coffee pot because somebody had also given us some potatoes.
That was serious.
We were having a runaway. But I'll tell you what, we didn't stay like that very long.
No, you didn't.
We began to hear the word, apply it. Became tithers, sowers, begin to get some revelation. Revelation changes everything.
Yes. And you put your trust in the Word of God.
I did.
You put your trust in Jesus Himself. And He really did take you on a journey, as He's done with me and with Terry and our family and so many that watch on the broadcast here, that He's taken us to a place. And what we have to do is we have to keep this in mind. And this is what I'd like to do. I want to read this scripture. This is now our foundation scripture to this study. And it is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. These are the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy to give to the rich that were in the church. He said, charge them, teach them, command them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded or arrogant, we talked about that last week, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, those are instructions about wealth instructions.
Yeah.
Every one of us needs to follow these instructions to not be arrogant, to not trust in riches, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be ready to distribute and willing to communicate.
Think about it now, what I said about tithing and sowing.
Yeah.
If somebody hears about tithing at church, the pastor teaches on tithing, and they say, there's no way we can do that now. We hardly even are paying our bills. We hardly have any grocery money.
Right.
We can't tithe now. What are they doing? They're trusting in riches.
They
don't even have.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a great point.
It is.
Lori, they're trusting in something they don't even have.
That's right.
Instead of putting their trust in the Word and in the Lord and keeping that trust there, let's look at a couple of these scriptures concerning putting our trust in the Lord. Now, these scriptures, this is talking about, for instance, in 1 Timothy 6, In verse 9, it says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil." We do not love money. This is something that Keith Moore really brought to light about this, and we all have caught on to it. Brother Keith has some tremendous revelation. And he was talking to his congregation about the only thing that we love is God. Don't love your car. Don't love your house. You can enjoy your house and appreciate your house, but our love and our trust, our complete trust, is directed towards the Word of God and God Himself in that. And so it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And listen to this scripture. You've got it down there in number 2. And by the way, all of these notes are available to you on kcm.org. You can download them and use them, follow along with us, preach them, make copies of them, give them to your friends. I mean, these are for you to learn and develop in this.
Let me say something while you're saying that. I wanted to just say that Keith Moore has eons of good teaching on finances.
He does, yes.
Free. It's on his website.
More Life Ministries.
You can grow up. You can go to Bible school on his website.
We'll put it on the screen.
That's right.
We'll let them see, because you can go through.
He's a very strong teacher.
Just and the vastness of what he has, and you can listen to his week of increase. He's done that for years now. It's a seminar that he's done.
And you can go there. Get in the meeting.
You can go to Branson or to the church.
We'll send Keith a bill.
Yeah. We'll charge him for his time.
No, we'll do it for
free. We love him. We love Brother Keith. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. This is the NIV translation. Whoever loves money, or you could say their glory, whoever puts their trust in money never has enough. Mm-hmm. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As good increases, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? So really, we're having to make a decision that we do not put our trust in money. We put our trust in God. And then read that next one, number 3, Proverbs 8, 17 through 21.
I love those who love me. This is wisdom talking.
Mm-hmm.
I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. With me who? With me wisdom.
Yes.
With me what the Word says.
Yes.
With me what God's saying. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My way of righteousness along with the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Isn't that a powerful NIV.
That last line, bestowing wealth on those who love me, or you could say there, bestowing wealth on those who trust me.
That's right.
And making their treasuries full.
Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say.
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't he say that?
He sure did.
I didn't make that up.
If you love me, you'll do what I say. Mm-hmm. Look at your last page there. They've just given us about 3 minutes.
Oh, George, and we just got started.
I know this goes by so quickly. But let's do this. We seek God instead of seeking money. And let's do this. We'll do another lightning round together.
Okay.
You read number 1, I'll read number 2.
The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
That's good. That's in Psalm 34:10. 2 Chronicles 26:5. This is King Uzziah. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the things of God. As long as he sought, inquired of, and yearned for the Lord, God made him to prosper.
Wow.
But you know something? In 2 Chronicles 26:16, when I read that, I was a little disappointed. It said, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. So
He missed it.
Read number 4 there, Gloria.
That's a good warning.
It is a warning.
2 Chronicles 31, 20 through 21 NIV. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple. And in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought God and worked wholeheartedly, and he
prospered. Isn't that something?
Isn't that great? That's great instruction right there.
Tim, how many seconds? A minute and a half. Okay. Hey, we can do this, Gloria.
Go ahead.
Let's start down there. Read those scriptures.
If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and in their years in contentment.
That's right.
But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. That's a Job 36, 11, and 12.
We obey God, we don't obey money. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give to you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God.
If you be willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19, you shall eat the good of the land, if, it says,
if you be willing and obedient. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Mm-hmm. You cannot serve both God and money. So we serve God.
That's
we love God. We obey God. We trust God.
Amen.
We trust God. And I'll just read out this.
You're almost through. Go ahead.
Yeah. The role of money in our lives. Some are slaves to money. They're driven to earn it and keep it. No, money serves us.
Good.
We
That's
don't
really
serve
good.
Money. It
good.
Says in Psalm 104:14, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb or the seed for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. And then this one last thing I wanted to give to you, and this was a conversation that I had with Kenneth just a few days ago on the telephone, and he was just giving me the clarification of something that he's talked about. He said, if you make decisions based on money, you'll be wrong 99%
That's
of the time.
Truth.
If you make your decisions based on the anointing of God, based on what God is calling you to do, you'll be right 99% of the time. Even if you miss it, you'll be in a position for God to correct you.
That's
so,
true.
Gloria, we awesome. Trust God. Paul said, don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly
all things to enjoy. Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
Good
job, George. We'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.